next one was Guilty. A murderer begins talking. I'm sorry. A murderer begins
talking.
begins talking to gang members until they die.
That's what this podcast would be if we made it one episode.
Okay. A murderer begins taking out gang members in Starling City, and when a body shows up in Ted Grant's gym, he becomes a suspect. Oliver follows Ted to another body, where Ted denies killing anyone and reveals to Oliver that he was once a vigilante who retired after a drug dealer was beaten to death by accident. The pair follow the clues to the location where the drug dealer was killed. The murderer shows, which Ted reveals was his former protege, Isaac Stanzler, who was responsible for the death of the drug dealer, but is bested by Oliver before escaping. Isaac kidnaps Ted and Laurel, but Oliver and his team are able to successfully stop him. Meanwhile, Roy tells Felicity about his dreams and has her run tests on any Mirakuru that may be in his system still. The test reveals no Mirakuru, but Felicity shows Roy other evidence that corroborates his fears. Roy confesses to Oliver and Laurel that he killed Sarah. Using a technique learned in Hong Kong, Oliver helps Roy access his memories to realize that he did not kill Sarah. However, Roy discovers he did kill a cop while under the effects of Mirakuru. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. That was my favorite scene, probably, the bit at the end, and where he reveals that he thinks that he killed Sarah. The rest of it I could do without. Also, something I haven't liked about this season is the Hong Kong scenes are nowhere near as good as the island scenes, because the island scenes might have hinted at stuff that, you know, started to train Oliver and he uses it again in Starling City in modern day, but it didn't happen in the same episode, whereas in this one you have him, you know, having that technique he learned to try and find out if Roy did kill Sarah or not. And there are other episodes, like the one where they talk about torture, that they have torture in the same episode. That's actually The Brave and the Bold, isn't it? But in that episode, it's in the same episode. And I used to like it on the island where they would start to train him and then you'd have a flashback. Interesting. but you'd have a flashback to him training a few episodes ago and then he uses that skill. I thought that was a lot more clever than having it in the same episode.
I think it's also the fact that they have moved to Hong Kong as well. That
it could be.
It seems, but then again, they are, because really all they're doing is setting up the Suicide Squad and Katana. That's pretty much all.
Yeah, but they could still handle it be doing better.
I don't know. But in this particular episode, I did like the way that it was. Yeah, kind of like a, not really an origin story, more of a, what's the right word for it?
Memorial? Remembering what he used to do?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Although it did raise questions about how, it's a good thing that, here I am complaining that they're not in the same universe, but then again, it makes sense that they're not. But, you know, if Batman was around, why hadn't Oliver heard about him, that sort of stuff. So it's interesting that we're now learning about other vigilantes and other heroes that have been around. And, you know, just throws in that question about how many have there been. And it's a good thing Batman's not involved, because he would have heard about him by now and that sort of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't as interested in the story with Ted and his protege, Isaac Stanzler.
Yeah, if it was setting him up for a return, then yeah, that's pretty cool, because now we know what he does or what he did and what he can do in the future. But he's just kind of retired, so
yeah. I mean, I think that's what the episode did well, was let us see more of Ted Grant's past, and you know, Sandra said it was not his origin story, but we did get to, you know, hear and learn about his crime fighting days in the past, and so yeah, like you said, he is really set up to become a part of the team if they need him.
Yeah, we haven't really seen him since this episode, though. But I'm sure he'll probably pop back up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, he'll probably have to.
Yeah.
Soon.
If
Laurel's going to be worth a damn.
Exactly. The flashbacks, while they might be off, I don't remember what the character's name is, but Katana, or the 2B Katana, She's played pretty well by Mar. Okay.
What's her face from Wolverine?
Yeah, what's her face from Wolverine's probably better than trying to pronounce her name.
She was fantastic in both of them.
Mm.
I'm not criticizing how well they're played or anything like that, but the writing just feels like they could be worked a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks really authentic. Well, from what I know of Hong Kong.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this is another episode where that has a heavy usage of the Starling City PD as well.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys think of the use of Officer Lance or Captain Lance so far this season? It seems to me he's not been in it as much as past seasons, but him and the Arrow still have a good back and forth, you know, that the Arrow's delivering bad guys to him and lets him know when to pick him up.
Yeah.
Especially in the final episode. That was a fun line. Ah, Christmas present.
Yes. I think it would be nice to see some more growth with their relationship, but it's good where it is.
I don't feel ever find out that it's Oliver.
Would we want him to, though?
I don't know. It would be interesting. He was right all along from the first season, but he seemed to do some heroic stuff, so he'd go, oh, well, okay. Will I tell the rest of them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's pretty much that episode. Move on to the next one. Episode 7, Draw Back Your Bow. This basically starts off with Oliver investigating a new killer who is in town, who murdered Isaac Stanzler, who was the guy in the last episode.
Protege.
Guilty, yes. Who kills him with a bow and arrow and left his body dressed up as the Arrow. Yes. Following a lead, Oliver learns that the copycat vigilante is a former cop named Carrie Cutter, who goes by the name of Cupid, and is obsessed with the Arrow. Carrie uses a former CI to track down Oliver's hideout. Oliver then lures Carrie away. When Oliver rejects her romantic advancements, Carrie then tries to kill the both of them. Oliver then stops her, which reinforces Carrie's delusions that he is in love with her.
Oh, God.
This synopsis is terrible. Subsequently, Oliver gives to Argus as a new member of the Suicide Squad in hopes that being on a team will help provide her guidance. Meanwhile, Ray reveals his next plan. Yes.
This is the Salmon Ladder episode.
Oh, is that what it is?
Meanwhile, Ray reveals his next plan to help save the city is rebranding Queen Consolidated to Palmer Technologies. Oliver struggles with how much time Felicity is spending with Ray, and the situation is made worse when he walks in on them kissing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm. Ray
after their platonic date.
Yeah. Ray is later shown working on a personal exosuit design. Mm. In flashbacks to Hong Kong, Oliver and Katana go off to find her husband when he goes missing. I like the line in this one about that this would be the second crazy female they've had in the Suicide Squad, which definitely says that Harley does actually exist. They just don't have the rights to use her.
God damn it.
At least we know where she's showing up next now.
Mm. I liked this episode. I just didn't really like Cupid as a character.
Yeah, good point.
I loved, Ray renting that dress for Felicity and the jewelry as well and her reaction to that. And that was all amusing. I quite liked the drama that causes between, the Arrow team.
Mm.
I liked the flashbacks, but Cupid was just damned annoying. Oh, as was the DJ guy, too.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that guy. What an idiot. Why bring him in? He's giving such a bad name for DJs. Then again, they do
and also
all
his character.
Yes. But, yeah, why make him an actual character? That's my point. Like, he isn't... From what I've read, he isn't a character in the comics, so it's just, I don't know. Just why
he just comes across as obnoxious. I'm sure he's meant to come across as the confident bad boy that girls will throw themselves on. But I'm surprised Thea didn't punch him in the face or break a few bones, because she could do that now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, why does she need another love interest this soon?
Exactly.
Let
Roy break a few bones then.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Roy bashing around. That could be fun. But Cupid, what did you think, Lee? Have you read Cupid before in other comics?
No, this is my first introduction to that character.
Oh, okay.
And so, she was all right. I mean, she came across as a little
psycho.
A little over the top for even this show.
I
mean, I don't know. I didn't feel like
the count in it, and there's another over the top character.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I don't know. I guess I never bought why she liked Oliver or loved Oliver so much. Why she just sort of, you know.
Yeah, because
maybe if it was zombie esque and she'd been cut by one of the Mirakuru guys and she had a tiny bit of it in her blood affecting her brain. Mm. As well as being saved by him, I could see a dedication come along. But honestly, you're just saved by a guy. Be grateful. Don't obsess over him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I thought she was played well. The actress was pretty good for who she was. But yeah, as you're right, it didn't really suit the show. Especially with this season, I would say it does just feel like they're trying to copy a couple of Smallville traits with Felicity, with the love.
It feels like they're copying some early Stargate traits too, you know, early TV. Yeah.
Yeah. But this episode really reminded me of that one back in, I think it was like season two, actually, of Smallville
It's been a while, but I remember what you're talking about.
He
had a few girls that sort of went psycho over him.
It did remind me of that one, but I kind of prefer the character in Smallville.
Yeah.
There's not much to really talk about, is it?
The little bits of story around the main story of that episode were a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, thank the Felicity and Ray Palmer was good.
Yes. Yes,
and kiss the Oliver season just when he's gonna tell her that he loves her. God damn it!
Was this the flashback where we got to see Katana fight for the first time?
Yes, it was.
It was.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty freaking awesome.
It was, yes. But aside from that, I think that's pretty much the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which moves us on to Brave and the Bold.
There we go.
Maybe the worst episode of the season next.
Really?
Let's just skip this one altogether.
Okay. Oliver and Roy track down the home of Digger Harkness, a boomerang... Sorry, I can't take that sentence seriously. A boomerang-wielding murderer. but they only find Argus operatives looking for the same man. Star Labs Dr. Caitlin Snow and Cisco Raymond. I've never actually said their names. That's interesting. Arrow arrive in Starling City to help Felicity analyze DNA from the arrow that killed Sarah. Although the arrows, because there were multiple. Digger attempts to kill Lila. Sorry, I got confused there. It was Digger, not Diggle. I thought, what?
Yes.
Digger attempts to kill Lila. Rory and Oliver arrive to stop him, but need assistance by Barry Allen, who uses his super speed to stop a couple of boomerangs from killing Oliver. Yeah, there you go. That sentence.
Wow. That's
just
quite
a couple of them, you know. Yeah.
Later,
Lila reveals Digger was part of the Suicide Squad. Oh, dear. And Oliver agrees to allow Barry to assist in the investigation. Oliver's interrogation tactics lead Barry to question how emotionally stable Oliver is. The team tracked Digger's location, but it turns out to be a ruse that allows Digger to trace their hideout, where he wounds Lila quite severely, before being forced to run away. In order to escape, Digger plants 5 bombs around the city. While Oliver captures Digger, Barry uses the rest of the team to defuse the bombs at the same time. Flashbacks to Hong Kong show Oliver learning how to torture suspects effectively to get information, which ties back into Oliver's interrogation technique. Like I said,
yes,
it's quite, you know, dodgy.
Yeah, it's quite dodgy. <yeah. laughs>
This was an excellent episode. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah,
I was a little bit annoyed with the first crossover episode, mainly with just how they didn't really show you. Yeah, not really. Just with how you didn't see how they captured the bad guy, and it was, and it annoyed me how standalone they were trying to make it. Which I know I was talking to you, Lee, about a little while ago.
Yeah, both. I mean, they've done, which not wasn't my preference, but they did well making these two crossover episodes be 100% standalone in their own series instead of having a part one and a part two in two different series, which I would, you know, think, you know, the continuity.
They can do that next time, because I'm sure there'll be another one. I'm sure this was an experiment where they made it a two-part event, but it was also just standalone in their own series, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they both worked well.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was fine. I think this one, I liked this episode better than the one that was in Flash, but the one in Flash was
really the comedy in Flash, so.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You shot me. How dare you shoot me?
Yes.
Yeah, wait, you knew who was going to do that? Look, I can't tell when Oliver's joking or not. I'm sorry.
Captain Boomerang was fantastic in this. I'm just going to say, like,
the name, though.
Oh, yeah, the name Captain Boomerang doesn't suit the show at all. But he is a Flash villain, I should point out, rather than a...
But they even basically tell the audience that this isn't Central City. This isn't where it's sunny all the time and you name your bad. This is Arrow. And I thought, yes, thank you for identifying that, because I like Flash, but it is cheesy. It is very much the comic book-esque version of a superhero show. But this is a more serious show, and I love the way they just kind of pinned a lantern on that.
Yeah.
A green lantern, maybe.
Because actually, as you say that, because Flash, especially with the TV show, is very much DC's Spider-Man, I found out, which is because it's a light-hearted, not teen, more a young adult, pretty much struggling with life and having powers at the same time. And
losing family members, pretty much the same family members.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see that the parallels and the way that Barry does react to Oliver's basically torturing.
He probably sees Oliver as a superhero, which is what he's trying to be, but Oliver clearly isn't. He hasn't got mind-reading powers, so he needs to get information, and he sees this guy he's held up on a pedestal be pretty evil to get what he needs to be good. So it shows some shades of gray, and he has to realize that, you know, the world isn't black and white, and that Oliver might do good stuff, but in order to do that, he's got to do nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a great scene. It was so well played by both of them.
I liked the characters came into Arrow. I know Cisco especially, strangely, did actually fit in with the show.
Well, I like that he was immediately trying to help, you know, and like improve. Like, he designs Oliver a new costume, you know, to help him carry more stuff.
And then says to Roy, red is a cooler color. I like this guy already. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that character is really great.
Mm. Mm.
It's nice to have someone that's as excited about the superheroes as we are.
Yeah, indeed. It's this is more of a Flash episode, but the way he got a crush on that girl, I just thought, yeah, that would happen. They hire a lot of attractive actors. That's got to happen at some point. It was good fun. I agree. I preferred this one out of the crossovers, but it did feel like an experiment. And I think that they've seen that it works. They've seen that they can, one, write for the characters in both shows well enough. If they acknowledge that they're two different worlds in terms of their tone and their atmosphere, and also the audience enjoyed it, so they can be a bit more adventurous, a bit more bold and brave.
Well, it was a great contrast just to see how, you know, how calculating Oliver and Diggle and Arsenal are when they come up on a scene. You know, they have everything
just in there and ties them
up. By the time they get in there, Harry's already got everyone wrapped up.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, if you excuse me, I'll just go and eat.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and that scene in the Flash part of the crossover. Isn't that shit freaking you out?
Yeah.
Where he just runs quickly.
Yes. Yeah. The same with Lila in this one as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Speaking of Lila, Deagle does propose to her again. So they are engaged once again.
Yeah. But she said, shut up and let me answer.
Yes.
Let me say yes.
Well, yeah, they're probably going to kill her off now, aren't they? Because now they're...
Yeah, because heroes can't be happy.
Exactly, yeah.
So who babysits for her?
Oh, shit, you wouldn't want that.
They're both always out there.
Yeah. She just drops it off to... just to Argus, the Suicide Squad.
Amanda Waller is doing it in her spare time.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop you off at Artie Harley's place. She'll look after you.
Yeah.
There's actually a great line in this when they're trying to track some leads. And they go to Quentin and he says, Detective Captain Lance. And even Oliver's getting confused by it.
Mm.
Oh, and he says, oh, yeah. Gets Barry's name wrong. And then he says, when you hit by a train or something like that, lightning, actually.
Yeah.
Also, compared to the rest of the season so far, the ratings on this episode were huge. I think got 4 million compared to 2.5, which has been the average.
Flash gets a lot more viewers anyway than Arrow, which, to be honest, I don't think it deserves. I love the Flash. It's fun, but Arrow's put a bit more work into it, it looks like.
Well, the ratings did kind of carry over. I mean, it got 3 for the last episode, which is about 500,000 more than normal. So hopefully it carries over and this one gets more views. But either way, I'm sure it doesn't really matter whether or not it's going to get renewed, because I'm pretty sure it is. It's going to get renewed anyway.
Oh, yeah. And also, they've already commissioned the next half of the season. They're just having their holiday break.
Yeah. All right. I think that's pretty much it for Brave and the Bold.
It was very good.
Let's do The Climb.
The League of Assassins inform Oliver that he has 48 hours to find and turn over Sarah's killer, or the League will begin murdering Starling City citizens. And someone likes alliteration.
Yeah. Yes.
Oliver also learns Katana's husband is now a member of the Dr. Snow sends Felicity the DNA profile from the arrow that killed Sarah, and the police database identifies Oliver. Believing Malcolm set him up, Oliver discovers that Malcolm and Thea arrived in Starling City the night before Sarah's murder. Realizing that she has been lying, Arrow confronts Thea, who reveals she has been training with Malcolm before escaping. And what an awkward fight scene that was.
Yes.
Later, Malcolm informs Oliver that he drugged Thea and manipulated her into killing Sarah. I like this. Malcolm filmed the event.
Of course you would.
Of course Oliver
filmed
to death with Ra's al Ghul, with Ra's potential death releasing Malcolm from any blood debt to the League. Mm. Oliver and Ra's meet with Oliver. What? Oliver?
Sentence fix.
That is not a sentence.
There you go. This stuff.
Oliver and Ra's al Ghul fight.
Basically.
Ra's mortally stabs Oliver and kicks him over the side of the cliff.
Well, that's pretty blunt.
I've got a question.
Flashbacks. Oliver and Katana's husband learn that China White has stolen an engineered super virus.
Chino White.
China breaks Katana's house and they fight.
And they fight, basically. Yeah. And kidnaps Katana. Yeah.
Lots of fighting going on in this episode.
This episode was pretty intense. From start to finish, it was just constant. I mean, we started off with a clip of Oliver basically climbing a mountain, and you're like, okay, so that's gonna happen. And then all throughout it.
Anyone else think Batman Begins?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. But it does jump in there and just carries on, because you then have Nyssa turning up and basically saying, you've been too distracted trying to protect the city. You should be solving this mystery. And I just thought, come on, just wait. And then you have Thea finding out that Sarah's dead, although she knew that already. But finding out that Laurel knows. Oh, no, she didn't because she was.
She didn't know about it. Yeah, no, because she was drugged or something. Yeah. I think it was a really good move to have Thea kill Sarah, but I did not see it coming.
Man, but what a nasty, like, dark turn for Malcolm to make, you know? Like,
But it also makes sense. Like I said, he wants to protect his daughter. He's getting rid of, like, a blood debt that he's got to Ra's al Ghul.
But he's not protecting his daughter. He's protecting his own ass at this point.
Well, and like, by extension, as he said, by extension, her ass, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I enjoy that he made that play, but, man, like, there's not a lot of redemption from that.
It is. I mean, you can see what he's doing, but it's a tricky way to go about it.
Yes, that was pretty crazy. And of course,
talk about the biggest bit of the episode.
The death? Yeah, okay. So,
Lazarus Pit.
Yeah, basically.
I'm laughing at it, and I'm thinking it's predictable, but still, it was very dramatic. And they even did the whole
that fight
the people you love flashing before your eyes, too. Yeah. That was, you know, I think nice symbolism. The whole thing
is one of my favorite parts about the fight scene was the fight scene. As a whole, the choreography was excellent, but the way that that they kind of played that he had the upper hand for a couple of seconds with like that main theme just crept in there and then was just cut off. I thought that was very, very good. Yeah.
And the way Ra's al Ghul kept his promise, he's unarmed, but he'll get his swords off him eventually. And he gets both of them. He really has got the upper hand.
Mm.
And he's really going to be using one hand too.
And he does pretty much confirm that the Lazarus Pit does exist.
Because it's said he's been guarding it for 60 years or something like that, isn't it?
The last person that challenged me was like 62 years ago or something like that, he said. And that does confirm it. And yeah, I liked how it confirms it, but it doesn't really let, you know, the casual viewers know what's happening. I like that side of that.
Yeah. So when they see the next episode, they'll go, oh, okay. Well, they hinted at it, I guess.
The Felicity and Ray thing continued throughout this episode as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we actually, when he talks about the actual suit coming from an OMAC project that the Queen had started or something he had started, I can't remember, that he renamed it Adam. That was pretty nice.
The OMAC project. Oh, dear. They're bringing so much. But then again, they did hint at Amazo last year as well, so don't expect everything they say to actually...
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. As far as a cliffhanger goes, and a literal cliffhanger has at that...
Cliff faller.
Yes. Yeah, it is pretty obvious what is going to happen, though.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that in the meanwhile that someone, you know, Oliver's going to come back one way or the other. But in the meanwhile, you know, they don't want everyone in Starling to think that the arrow is gone. So Diggle needs to put the hood on and continue.
Yeah, true.
Making appearances. That would be all right.
We're going to probably see how the team tries to protect the city, but without Oliver there, they probably won't do a brilliant job. So then they're probably going to have to fight their way to the Lazarus Pit, make sure he's revived, and then I don't know, that could happen either way. He's going to be revived.
I had a question that came up in my mind was, well, they did not fight in Nanda Parbat, however you say it, where the League of Assassins are based, and also where the Lazarus Pits are. They've met at a different neutral place. So unless there's a Lazarus Pit in this neutral place, they have to somehow get him back to...
Yeah. Well, maybe Katana's husband could sneak him back to the...
possibly.
To the Lazarus Pit or something like that. I know they... Because with the promo for the next one, they did kind of show someone come out to his body, so I'm guessing that's it. That's really just quite over analyzing it, but yeah, they could do that.
We'll see.
Pretty good. And that's pretty much the season then.
There we go. Yeah. The titles for the next five episodes have actually been released, so I'm just going to quickly go through them. We have Left Behind is the next one. Then we have Midnight City, which I'm guessing is probably the start of the Canary trilogy, because we have Midnight City, then Uprising, then Canaries. So I'm guessing that's probably the trilogy there. And then episode 14 is called The Return. And that's also episode 60, and it has been confirmed that Tommy is coming back in episode 60. So whose return is it?
Another Lazarus Pit incident?
Probably. Yeah.
It's just people being revived left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Oh, you could just imagine Malcolm taking Tommy to a Lazarus Pit, reviving him, and trying to save him.
Mm. Yes.
Well, he owes him that much for setting him up.
True. Oh, I'm excited now.
Yeah, so there we go. So it should be fun. Now, we should try and get back to week-to-week reviews of Arrow.
Let's emphasize the try.
Yes.
We will endeavor to do that. Whether we no promises.
But aside from that, that's pretty much the episode. So join us next week. We're going to be having a look at The Flash with more people to talk about it. So it might be longer, maybe more interesting.
No,
what are you saying about this week's?
But yeah, that's pretty much the episode. I think we'll see everyone then. Oh, we didn't mention a little Wayne once in the episode. Oh, dear.
Oh, crap. Now we got to start all over.
Okay, let's try and put the little Wayne in.
It could be back. Oh, it could be back when Lee was saying that there's someone talking people to death. That could be little Wayne. Then he gets put in the Drizzy Pit. No, that's no.
This episode brought to you by Lil Wayne with his full Drizzy Pit.
The Undertaking, a Narrow podcast, is an improbable production from improbablewebsite.webs.com. It featured Lee Busby, Reese Parton, and myself, Cesare Felcher. This episode is in no way associated with the CW, DC Entertainment, or the programs Arrow and Flash. No copyright infringement was intended. Be sure to like the show on Facebook, check out our website, listen to us on Stitcher, and send us some feedback. All links are in the description. And then, be sure to come back next week for our thoughts on The Flash.